Another week. Boys, boys, boys. You know the motto around here. We love the boys. We love to play with boys. We love to talk about the boys. We got a lot to talk about the boys this week. Oh my God. November 3rd, 2023. That's right. The year of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, 2023. And we are halfway through, a little more than halfway through, since there's no bye weeks in a few weeks. So we got a 17-game NFL season now as of last year. We're in week 9 of the NFL. We're an 18-week season with the byes for every team. So believe it or not, we are halfway through the NFL season already. I told you, as I tell you every year, and I told you beginning, it's the quickest season in sports, and we're halfway through already, and we'll get to a lot of playoff scenes shaping up, and a lot more will be will come into shape after this weekend. We have some good games this weekend. We also have some interesting games that may not be good necessarily. See Chargers, Jets, and a few others, but we'll get to that. We'll get to all the games as we always do. No guests this week. No guests. White Julio is out in Arizona on location for the LPGA Hall of Fame induction. He's a big head honcho at one of the golf clubs around here, and one of the ladies is getting inducted. So White Julio is on location. Regular Julio, there's a good chance we'll see regular Julio next week. I think I'll be able to record on Saturday next week. And obviously the bow tie bartender will be back for the end of the season. I'm sure Victor will be back. A few other people have showed interest. We'll be back on this very podcast by the end of the year. But this week, it's just old Jim Stansel, your friendly neighborhood All-American. This is the, there's a 23 on the back of this jersey. You're just going to have to, this penny, you're just going to have to believe me, the old practice jersey here, folks. I was not an All-American. This is the school I captained and led to a conference championship, beating my former team in, but that's a story for another day and a story I've told before. Hashtag do your homework. A few things in the sports world. By the way, yes, welcome to the show. If you're watching live, God bless you and your family. If you're not watching live, you should try to watch live because you could be part of the show and comment. If you're watching live, you know the goddamn ground rules around here. I'll read, I'll go through all the chats at some point. And answer any questions or queries you have from your neighborhood, Stansel Stradamus, who has always told you everything that's ever going to happen in sports. So feel free to comment. However, super chats, if you have the balls and the class to super chat, those get read immediately, as we do every week here. Yes, a few things before we get into the football. Let's click off some boxes here. The Texas Rangers won their first World Series in franchise history this week. I don't really have much to say past that, just reporting. As I said before the series started, not a sexy series at all. But there were some decent games, some decent moments, if you will, in the series, but all in all, as I said, when it was happening, I told you the Phillies-Braves series was going to be the most entertaining of the playoffs, and I stand by that. I think it was. Stansel Stradamus did it again, of course. I got my coffee here, no big deal. So the Rangers won the World Series this week. That's it. Good for them. I know they're watching. I just want to say congrats to them. All the Rangers watch. Adolis Chapman, whatever your fucking name is, Garcia, good for you. What else do we have? I got to tell you, I saw this today. This is in the news. If you follow me on Twitter, you know my feelings on it already. I tweeted about it this morning. The this motherfucker is not real lady, Tiffany Gomez, who was my mommy and my baby for a time. For a time, I really loved her. Until I saw last year evening and then confirmed this morning that she went on Barstool and did a Barstool podcast. And with that, the this motherfucker is not real lady has jumped the shark, gone mainstream, and completely sold out. And I'm no longer interested in her at all. Somebody send a carrier pigeon, let her know I'm off her list. She can stop considering me as a suitor. It's just such a sheep thing. And I understand Barstool has the reach. I get it on that level, but as a, if we're going to be honest, Barstool stinks. Barstool is like high school chick sports stuff and mouth breathing dude sports stuff now. And I was on the ground floor of Barstool. I'm 37. When it came out, I was there when it came out, when it was just KFC and Big Cat, and the Prez and Clem. And it was a website, and they were the only ones doing it, doing funny sports stories. It was interesting. As soon as they got signed, and I'm not going to say it was her fault when they got the chick CEO, but that was just when they jumped the shark for me. That's when they brought all the chick shows in, Chicks in the Office, and they brought all these disgusting fatsos in who live sports through a TV their whole life and never played anything. And now they're just trying to be a comedy podcast, but it's just trash. It's just mainstream trash now. And it pained me to see my baby, this motherfucker is not real lady, on there, but also not surprised, because let's be honest, she's pretty dumb. So what a shame. So happy trails to this motherfucker is not real lady, no longer cool. No longer sexy to me. You do a podcast on Barstool with those mouth breathers and you're dead to me. So happy trails. This motherfucker is not real. Hope it was worth it. I certainly don't give a fuck, nor do I think most people do now about you. Goodbye. Quick note, just knocking, like I said, clicking off some tabs. If you saw, just a note, I don't know if I touched on this, the Wembanyama, the rookie for the Spurs, if you don't know who I'm talking about, he's 7 feet tall, he looks like he weighs about 80 pounds, and he's I can't look at him, he's just disgusting looking, it looks like he's gonna break, he's just lanky and disgusting, and I've said this for a while, and I stand by this. Basketball players are the most ghoulish athletes in all of sports. They kind of look like normal on TV because they're all the same size, but anybody who's been around them, they are absolute freaks and not in a good way in real life. Anybody who's gone to college and has seen like the basketball teams around campus, they're just ghoulish. They look uncomfortable in their bodies. They all look deformed. I have a theory, like if you're that big, that is a deformation. To be above 6'5", you're pretty much deformed. Their faces are all wonky. Their bodies are all misshapen. They truly are giants and not in the good way. And Wembanyama is just a disgusting, what a ghoulish body. Basketball players by far the most unattractive athletes in sports. And again, we cover boys here, so I can comment on that. It's not gay. I'm very straight. That's why I'm comfortable commenting on this. And if you're uncomfortable with this conversation, it's probably because you're gay and maybe your uncle touched you. I do apologize for that. But I can say the most unattractive men sports is basketball players. It's truly ghoulish, totally ghoulish. And it is Halloween week. Hope everyone enjoyed their Halloween. So hopefully you watch the NBA for Halloween and watch those disgusting ghouls run around. And of course the big story in, if you actually care about real sports this week, is the passing of Bobby Knight. I have a quick, Bobby Knight connection I'll share with you. But as a coach, that is my kind of coach. Not only do they not make coaches like that anymore, you're not allowed to be that kind of coach anymore, to take a player by their collar. And obviously everybody talks about he threw a chair and he hit players, and I understand. I get it, but that wasn't, but again, he got the guy coached for what, 20 years, 30 years. It's not all about one moment. And he was a fucking winner. Still the only guy to lead the undefeated Indiana team. What were they, 32-0 that year? There's a reason for that. Shout out Bobby Knight. He knows how to drive. That's the kind of coach I wanted. That's the kind of coach I strive to be. You know, like as I've said, I coach high school at the high school level for 10 years. Coach lacrosse at that level for 10 years. So I've played it. I've been on both sides of it with coaches of all different sports. And there's a lot of soft touch coaching out there these days, which you have to be with the younger generation. I'll give you these coaches that. A lot of the kids now don't respond to the tough love stuff because a lot of them aren't raised right and they're big fucking pussies. And again, I'm saying it in a blunt way, but go around and talk to coaches. They're going to tell you the same thing in so many words. The kids these days are very soft. So, you know, unfortunately, the praising them and the putting on the pedestal motivates a lot of them these days. But Bobby Knight did it the right way, motivating by making you want to be your best. And if you're not being your best, shaming you, frankly, the way it should be. So a few years ago when I was with my infamous ex fiance, for her work, she had him, he was scheduled to be the speaker for one of her work events. She scheduled him for this big, let's just say it was a big money finance company. So they got big names. And she was essentially his assistant for the weekend, meaning, you know, she was the one who brought him to the meetings, she brought him to the lunches, the dinners, you know, it was like a Friday, Thursday through Sunday thing. So she spent some time with him and said, true to form, he is exactly as you see, and he's the real article. He was on the phone with his wife a lot. I know she told me she was like wearing heels one day, and he's like, wait, what the hell are you wearing those fucking things for? You're going to ruin your fucking back. Go change your fucking shoes. You know, she laughed it off, and it's not like he actually made her go change her shoes, but he's just that kind of guy. So obviously, as a sports fan my whole life, and always a fan of Bobby Knight, you know, she talked to him about how I was a fan and blah, blah, blah. And I sent her a picture I had. I had an old, I forget the magazine, to be honest. Maybe it was like the old NBA Today or like the Inside Stuff magazine from back in the day. If you guys, the older people my age, will remember the Inside Stuff magazine, the sports magazine. And I had one. It was Bobby Knight, Michael Jordan, and it was one other athlete. I'd be lying if I said it, but it was somebody like Olajuwon or somebody like that. And she showed him. I sent her a picture. I gave show him this. Look, show him this. You know, this is whatever. It was like a throwaway thing. I thought it'd be funny to show him. And I guess he had never seen it before. Bobby Knight. He's never seen that. He's like, what is it? I don't remember this. So cut to the chase because I suck at telling stories. But basically, he made me mail him that magazine. And in return, he sent me back a signed copy of his book. So I don't know. There's a little inside story about Bobby Knight. Neither here nor there. But I thought that was interesting. Yeah, he had never seen the magazine, wanted it, took it, and sent me a book. So at least he sent it back. Nice guy. Godspeed to Bobby Knight. There'll never be another because they're not allowed to be now. He'd be fired day one these days. But Godspeed to another one of the old guard hitting the old dusty trail. Hopefully he's throwing chairs in hell. Yeah, so that's it. That's it for this week. Now let's get on to the football. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh boy, I'm sorry. There's some super chats. Little Lemmy right off the bat. I'm not on my phone, so now I can put it on the screen. Hashtag shot money. Well, thanks to the Lemmy, I will be on, since you said it, I'm sure we'll talk about an SMC this weekend. I will be Thursday's compound stancil this week. I'll be doing the same lineup plus the football show Thursday. So you'll have four stancil shows this coming Thursday. We'll have the pregame, of course. The Stancil Compound pregame, which is, if you don't watch live, those are available on our Patreon at patreon.com/SkiMaskMedia. Then we'll have the dump at 1:30, in hot water 2:15, then a break where we go try to find a new bar to drink at, hopefully, and the football show at 7. That's this Thursday. Thank you, Little Lemmy. 10 bones to start us off. If you missed the beginning, if you don't watch the show, the ground rules, super chats are read immediately. All the chats I will go through at some point. We always check the chat for your questions. At some point during the show, I'll go through. So you have questions or queries from your sports god, send it here. Little Lemmy also re-upped their membership. God, Little Lemmy. Wow, Little Lemmy. Little Lemmy, DM me. I'll send you a dick pic. James R. off the bat, another super chat. James R. $5. Track and field is the last honest sport. Big fan of women's race walking. Get Peacock. Everybody stop being cheap. Do they have race walk? I have Peacock. I don't know why. I went to cancel my Peacock, and then they got me because I'm a sheep with the old, oh, for just $2. You can keep it for 2 more months. So I got to go back and cancel it because I don't really use it. I was using Peacock. Actually, that's why I want to keep it. I was rewatching all the old Attitude Era. I started in June of 98, and I think I'm at like September of 99, running through all the Raws, all the pay-per-views. Highly recommend it if you're from my era. They are not allowed to do that on network TV anymore. I guarantee you that. Race walking, interesting. Yes, I've seen the race walking. It's when they go like this. If you listen to the audio, I apologize, but until they do it, they go like that. It's an Olympic sport. Track and field, the last honest sport. I beg to differ. Those guys are always getting caught for juicing up. Constantly. All those track and field, the racers, they're always getting caught for juicing and taking tests and HGH and shit. So I don't know if I disagree, but that's the beauty of sports shows. You're not supposed to disagree to agree on shit. That's why we do it. It's fun. It's fun to disagree. What else? Boy, you guys are coming in hot. Oh, boy. Look who it is. Mino Gino Bisconti, $5. Where is Ski Mask? Asking for a friend. A friend who said, or a friend who told you he's going to keep doing this? No, Gino, this is my show. Ski Mask doesn't do that, this show. A, he doesn't watch enough sports. He's not an accomplished athlete like me. B, he doesn't like to do this show because he says this is his favorite sports show. He doesn't want to ruin it by being on it because then he can't listen to it. Gino, if you want the link, feel free. I could send you the link if you want to join me. No guests today. Yeah, your arch nemesis, Ski Mask. Unbelievable. There you go. Mino Gino Bisconti is on the board, $5. Tune in. What is the poll at, Gene? Gino put a poll, for those not paying attention. Gino put a poll up on Twitter. Should he? Because he got offered free tickets to the game by the bar that we'll never go to again starting this Thursday. Gino, if you're still watching, in the break between In Hot Water and the football show, I think the mission is to take a walk around the block, and I could do it on my pregame show too. We really do have to find a new bar. We can go. I don't mind going over to Sullivan's here and there if we have guests that just want to shoot for a quick one. But really, there's got to be. It's New York City. There's got to be a bar that's almost just as close on that block or within a block or two that we can go drink at. That they're not going to all, every single one of them, give us dirty looks. It literally, and I'm sorry to get off topic here. We'll get to the sports. Don't you fucking worry, pieces of shit. But literally everybody, even Michelle, when I go there by myself, I go there every live compound pregame. Even before I start doing the pregame, I always go over to Sullivan's for a beer and a shot before the show. as you see in the pregame, I do it on camera now. Michelle never smiles. It's never, hey, good to see you again. I'm there once a week. She charged me $20 for a beer and a shot every week. And not so much as a smile, not so much as an indication she knows who I am. And that's Michelle, who we don't even really bother too much. Yeah, we got it. Gino, we got to find a new bar. Okay, so back to my point. Gino's poll. The polls are closed. Powder blue. So the poll was, Gino asked if he should go to the Chargers game, the Chargers-Jets game Monday night with free tickets, or watch the game under a pink blanket with Max Lodes. Going to the game, powder blue in New Jersey won 55% to 45%. That's a 10% win. Not even close, not even within the margin of error. So I guess you'll see Gino Monday night in the Meadowlands, one of the worst places to watch the game in the NFL. So enjoy that Monday night, Gene. Look forward to the full report on Thursday when I'm there. Anything else? Balls deep. Balls deep. Gifted one Ski Mask Media membership. Very nice. That's it for the Super Chats for now. So, yes, as you just saw, Super Chats read immediately. Feel free, if you have any other questions or queries, if you're poor, to throw them in the chat, and I'll go through everything at some point. But if you want it read immediately, shell out a couple bucks because I'm poor. And I've mentioned it on some shows. I will be moving out of a mother as I've been here. One of the main reasons I've been here at mother's house is to help her get the house ready to sell. And she will be selling it within a month. So Stancil will be homeless in a month. So get those super chaps up. Stop sending it to people who are already thousandaires and millionaires. Join the Patreon. Do some super chats. Help out old Stancil. Even though I don't do it for the money, I do it for the love of the game. That's how you become an All-American. Gino, if you want a lick, text me, because I don't keep up with the chat unless it's a super chat or I'm reading it. Okay. Now let's get to the football. We covered all the other crap. Yes, baseball is over. So now we are in, it's all football all the time. We got basketball, we got hockey. We'll touch on hockey in some coming weeks. But it's all football now. We had the sports equinoxes last week that was making the rounds, where all the sports, baseball, football, NHL, NBA, were all firing off on Monday night. And those days of yours. So now it's all football all the time. NBA is doing some piece of shit in-season tournament this weekend. Because the NBA players are all children, as are their fans, so they can't just, God forbid, they just sit and watch games just for the sake of watching the game. They have to treat them like children. But it's all football all the time. Okay, this is half of this is going to be therapy. Half of this is going to be because we have to talk about it. We have to talk about the Jets-Giants game last week. One of the worst sporting events I've ever watched in my life. I was in communique with some of my fellow Jets fans. I was in communique with Steve Conti from Compound Media because he's a Giants fan. We talked right before the game. We're like, oh, let's put lunch on this game. All right, fine. By the end of the game, we both agreed nobody deserves lunch for this. This is an abomination. My God. And it was a perfect storm of shit. You had Tyrod Taylor, the backup, starting for the Giants, who quickly got knocked out. And then you had a third-string quarterback, Ray DeVito, come in and play quarterback. It might as well have been Ray DeVito. And shame on the Giants. Absolute shame on the Giants for having somebody on the roster Hold on a second. I'm getting a call from Gino Bisconti. Go ahead, caller.
I'm not going to that fucking game because, first of all, you said free tickets. The motherfucker that was going to give me free tickets was the bar manager of the aforementioned Sullivan's. He offered them to me. I never saw him again the rest of the week. These people are just fucking cunts.
Yeah, we're not going. Like I said, we got to. I think that's our mission this week. The break between In Hot Water and Football Show, we should go find a new place to settle in.
Not only should we do that, we found one even when we don't go out and say we were there. Because the only people I'm drinking with anymore are you and fucking Jim. You know what I mean?
I am Jim. Oh, okay.
I've had it after this week of all the fucking deadbeats. Fucking show.
You don't want to buy Big A a shot, then have him take bottles out of the studio?
And then they all act like, why is Gene being so mean? I haven't even started to be mean to people.
Oh.
Haven't even fucking started, fuckers.
Cocksucker, yeah, you know, you give him an inch and they take a mile of Chambord.
You just expect him to be white and they nigger it up. Are we on YouTube?
Oh, boy. Not anymore. Now it's going to be on Vimeo. Well, I'll edit that out in post.
That's a great callback, buddy. That's why they pay you the big money.
Yeah, I gave him big money. Anything you want to report? Obviously, Chargers-Jets this week. Go ahead.
My Geno's picks, I'm uploading it now. I took the Jets because I don't think anyone wins by... I don't think either team wins by 3.5. I think it's a close game. I think your defense is going to fucking just embarrass fucking Brandon Staley even more if that's possible.
Yeah, I think so too, but I'll get to my picks in a matter of moments, but yeah, I agree. I don't think I don't mind the Chargers. I think it's a bit of a shit show of a game, a low-key shit show of a game. I think the winner is scarily going to be in decent shape for a playoff run. The loser is not eliminated, but I think the winner the Jets would be 5-3. And what the Chargers are what? The Chargers will also be 5-3?
That's hilarious. The Chargers right now are, what is it, week 9?
Yeah.
3? What are they right now? Oh, week 9. They played 7 games out of 8. They're 3-4. And they're not in a position for a playoff run. They're just not good enough. The worst thing the Chargers could do is limp into the playoffs like they did the past 2 years if you consider that Raider game a playoff game. They're never going to win with Staley. You know what I mean? And like I said to the Vikings, congrats, because you were never going to win with Cousins. You know what I mean? Never.
Well,
you're never going to win a Super Bowl with Geno Smith. I'm sorry, Seattle. You're not.
Well,
you're just not. And the Chargers will never win a Super Bowl with Brandon Staley. These are just facts that I've loved. I used to say to people all the time, and I like Geno Smith now. Am I wrong? Like, he's a kid that fucking, you know, he came in cocky. He literally got fucking smacked in the face, fucking sat on the bench for years. He's like, look, I got a chance to start. And he had a terrible game 2 weeks ago. He's like, look, I fucked up. That's on me. I love that. You like seeing guys fucking come into their own. But I'm telling you, he will never win a Super Bowl. He's not good enough.
No, I watched Geno Smith, obviously, in New York. I 100% agree. He's not a winner. So Geno's another guy. And listen, side note, I would take Geno Smith in a heartbeat over Zach Wilson, but that's another story. But Geno Smith is a guy. Geno Smith is a guy who has some tools, can make some plays, but when push comes to shove, he's going to crumble every time. Sorry, Max Lodes. They're not going anywhere with Geno Smith. And they signed Leonard Williams. They're going for it this year. But they're not going to get past Geno Smith. Sorry.
That was my point. I didn't mean to double dump on Geno, as we've heard before. But my other point was that I used to say to, because Jets fans are not, there's so many dumb Jets fans, you know, and every, now there's all sad Charger fans. But like when they had Sanchez, when they had Geno Smith, I would sit there and say, oh, they're like, we're going back. And I'm like, I want to be wrong. I want to be wrong, but I'm telling you, we will not be sitting in this bar in December and January watching the Jets in the playoffs. I want to be wrong, but you're never going to win the Super Bowl with Brandon Staley, with Geno Smith, with Kirk Cousins, with Zach Wilson. You know this.
Yes. I got it.
I'll let you get back to your show, and I'm sorry I confused
you. No, thank you for calling. A nice cameo.
$5 suspended our new secret bar.
Yeah, we'll figure that out this week. It's in the cards. It's in the card. Who's your lock of the week? Quickly, you got a lock?
Eagles. I think I said it in my video.
Yeah.
If it weren't for the five, what are the Cowboys? They're five and two.
Yeah.
If the Cowboys never faced teams that played in New York or Los Angeles, they'd be 1-2 with losses against the Cardinals and getting blown out by the Niners, who haven't won a game since they blew them out.
Yeah, Niners. Niners and Cowboys. I've covered it on this show. I am not high on either. I'm not high on either of those teams, which I'll get to in a moment. All right, let me get on with this nonsense. Thank you, Gino Bisconti.
Your horseshit show. I'll let you get back.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
And you are on our show Thursday. I teased it out on the football show.
I announced it earlier off the bat on this show. It'll be a full slate on Thursday. Absolutely.
As an homage to you, we did a short show for us, like 90 minutes. Because Steve's always neglecting his new child. And I said, look, next week, it's not going to be a short show.
No.
It's not going to be a short show. So let's try and do a quick one tonight. It's so funny. A couple of people like reached out around like 9:15 and said, was there no show tonight? It's like, yeah, we only did 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Come on.
No, it was a good show. I watched it last night when I got home from work. Check out the sports show, the football show on Compound Media, of course, folks. All right.
We'll get to your locks and subs. Thanks for letting me interrupt.
Wow, there you go. Thank you, caller.
Great.
There you go. Gino Bisconti of Compound Media calling into the show. Paulie C, new member. Super chats and new members go on the board immediately. Anything else, I'll get to at some point. All right, before I was so rudely interrupted by a swearing WAP, I was getting into the Jets-Giants debacle of last week. I want to quote the great, some would say a god, Mike Francesa, who obviously still does, not on the radio, but still releases podcasts every week. Quote from Mike Francesa, which sums up the Jets-Giants game. One of the ugliest games played in the last quarter century. One pass was caught by a Giants wide receiver, and that went for -1 yard. The Giants had -7 yards of passing. This stuff is almost impossible to do. And as I was about to say, shame on the Giants for having a third-string quarterback on their team that isn't NFL-ready. Now, I understand Zach Wilson stinks too, and I'll get to him. But they didn't even let the DeVito guy pass the ball. And it's not a knock on him. He's a good kid. I guess he's from Staten Island, or he's from the New York area. Good for him making the league. But he can't have a guy on your team that can't play football. It doesn't make sense. The Giants had a guy on their roster, their third-string quarterback, who they didn't trust to pass the ball, period. Not even barely screens. Barely anything, much less throw it 10 yards downfield. So disgusting job by the Giants having a guy in their team that they can't even put in a game, especially when you're already starting a backup. They had no, and you're going against a Jets defense. They had no plan for if Tyrod Taylor got knocked out. Brutal. Where do I even touch on here? We knew both offensive lines stink. As I've told you before, Zach Wilson shouldn't be starting football games, and he proved it again last week. Now, listen, the Jets have a great defense. I stand by that. They do have some. There is a little bit of smoke and mirrors. I got to be honest. You know, the Eagles game, they had the three picks. Hurts threw that last pick. I don't know what he was doing. They got lucky a few times in some games, the defense did, but they are a good defense. And as you saw on the score, you can't do anything about the Jets defense. It's not the Jets' fault. The Giants offense was completely terrible. Saquon Barkley is a great running back. They stopped the run, but obviously when you have a guy who can't pass the ball, the Jets are just stacking up against the run as they should. Not their fault. They did what they had to do. So there's not much you can. I'm not going to praise the Jets defense because the Giants offense was just that bad. And yeah, I saw that idiot Dan Orlovsky on ESPN have the balls to say that Zach Wilson played a good game. I mean, how lost, it just goes to show how bad Orlovsky was at quarterback to think Zach Wilson played any kind of good. Still totally lost, some totally embarrassing throws from Zach Wilson. He took a sack, and let's be honest, the Jets had no business winning this. Oh God, dead fool. I'm a man of my word. Super chats read immediately. Dead fool, $49.99. Fuck Jim Stansel. Not nice. Not nice at all. I guess, thank you. Sorry, there's no guys for me to kiss this week, dead fool. And I will still get my jerk off. It's I never forget. So kind of thank you. Also kind of fuck you. That's not nice. Fuck Jim Stansel. FJS. Fuck Jim Stansel. Fuck Chandler Bing. How about that? Fuck hot tubs. Yes. He took a sack. Zach Wilson took a sack on 4th and 10 from a guy. This wasn't a. First of all, he took all their blindside sacks. Let me backtrack again. I have ADHD. Zach Wilson is totally and utterly lost in the pocket. He has zero pocket presence. He couldn't feel pressure if he had a cock up his little white ass. He cannot feel pressure any which fucking way. He took some terrible sacks. The worst one being on a 4th and 10 with what should have been the game on the line. A Giants player right in front of him. And instead of just, again, throwing it downfield, throw a pick. Same as a punt. It's 4th and 10. Maybe get a pass interference. He just lets a guy run right at him from in front of him. Throw the fucking ball away. This is simple shit, day one stuff. He totally loses it all once he enters the game. He is totally lost. I'm done beating the drum that he should never start a game because he never will. They're never going to bench him at this point. The coach Sala again had the nerve to say he saw some good things. It was pathetic. It was pathetic what Zach Wilson once again did. Just terrible decisions, terrible passes against a terrible defense in the Giants. I mean, if I was the Jets defense at this point, I would be livid. I understand they're winning these games. So that's why you haven't heard more from the Jets defense as they've been pulling these games out. They've won their last three now. But if you're the Jets defense blanking all these teams and you're still barely winning games, the Jets with any kind of competent quarterback should have absolutely blown the Giants off of the planet. Garrett Wilson is one of the best receivers in the league. Breece Hall is one of the best running backs in the league. And what is going on with the play? Nathaniel Hackett, you know, maybe Sean Payton was right. This guy stinks. They didn't even try to establish Breece Hall. It's pouring rain most of the game. The turf sucks. I don't know how many injuries happened in that game with the players. And they still try. Zach Wilson literally threw balls away because they fell out of his dumb hand because he refuses to wear a glove. And they still refuse to establish the run with one of the best home run hitter running backs in the league in Breece Hall. Nathaniel Hackett's got to wake up, establish the run. This is a ground and pound team. I understand our O-line isn't good. They play a little bit better, barely, over the last couple weeks. So the injuries last week set him back. But you have to try to establish a run, at least do it with screens, you know, a passing run game, something. But to keep putting the ball in Zach Wilson's hand and going three and out and just throwing it 5 yards to Garrett Wilson and hoping he'll make something out of it, it's not fair. You got either throw the ball downfield, but more than anything, establish the run. And that'll open up the passing game. I mean, again, basic shit. You don't need me to tell you that if you have any kind of sports IQ at all. But establish, go three and out with the run a couple times. I'd much rather see that than watching this idiot take sacks and throw the ball away. Again, they never committed to the run with Breece Hall. I don't understand it. I'm going to beat the drum again this week and say they're going to have to do it against the Chargers. Again, as I keep saying, that's how we did with Mark Sanchez the last time we were in the playoffs. Mark Sanchez, if you haven't noticed, was not a good quarterback, but we ran the ball and we had a great defense. You can win with that in the NFL. You can win with a great defense and a great running back, which the Jets have. But you can't do it if you keep putting the ball in the hands of these subpar quarterbacks. The run will open up those passing plays. Then you do a play action, you throw a deep out, or you throw a fade. But you got to do the run first. You can't expect Wilson to make plays like this by himself. Way too many Jets penalties, and they were legitimate penalties. I'm not blaming the refs. Just way too. To a point, I didn't mind them. Some of them were over-aggressive, but you can't have that many penalties, especially against a shitty team. You're going to lose against just about anybody else in the NFL. The only silver lining, Morstead, the punter, I know it's funny to say, it's almost sad to say, but it's true. What a fucking game. He won Special Teams Player of the Week for the AFC this week, if you didn't see that. Shout out to Morstead, which it was a field position game. You could make the case Morstead saved that game as a punter for the Jets, and I'm not being hyperbolic. You can really do that. An embarrassing game last week. We got another super chat. Oh boy, what is this? Paulie C. Stancil for president. Sing the fucking song. That's right, Paulie C. We got to get Paulie C. We'll send you the link one of these weeks. I don't know if there's enough room for you in here. Although Paulie C's been losing weight. Paulie C, legend of Casey's Bar and Tavern. If you follow me for any length of time, you know Casey's Bar and Tavern in Stamford, Connecticut. On 85 Woodside Street is the best bar in America. And Paulie C hosts the legendary Sunday Night Karaoke. Speaking of, I'm working Sunday night at the Soccer Ball Comedy Club. Only one show. Very well may see old Stancil roll through Casey's Sunday night. So everybody get very excited about that. Thanks for the super chat, Paulie. Hopefully I'll see you soon. All right, let's get on to the rest of the league. Let's take a look at the standings for the first time this year. Because some things have pretty much come into shape. The AFC, the Super Bowl favorites in the AFC, a little more options. Obviously, you have the Chiefs. You have the Dolphins. And then on another tier, you can throw the Bills in there. You can really throw the Ravens in there, which I'll get to the Ravens when we go around the league. The Ravens are this week's win away from once again being in that top tier with the Chiefs, Dolphins, Eagles, in my opinion, and I think the opinion of most people who watch the league. The Ravens are rounding in its shape, as are the Bengals. The AFC, you got some options for your Super Bowl team. The NFC, on the other hand, it's going to be the Eagles. Or it's going to be the Niners, pretty much. You can say the Seahawks, as me and Geno just talked about. I just can't. You're not going to get to the promised land with Geno Smith. I watched him play. He plays great until he doesn't, and he stops playing well when the moment matters. So I'm not even considering. I'm not even high on the Niners. The Lions, they're having a great year. You guys know I'm high on the Lions, but they got a long way to go to be Super Bowl contenders in my book. So at this point in the year, it's pretty much going to be the Eagles in the Super Bowl for the NFC. Obviously, it's the NFL. Anything can happen. But if you're going to pick a favorite, the AFC is much more open. The NFC, it's almost it's got to be the Eagles if you're picking a team for the Super Bowl. The buys this week, we're going to do a little differently. I'm going to do the buys. I'm going to give you my power rankings. Then we're going to get right to the picks, and we'll go around the league that way. We got Denver, who cares, on a bye. And then three teams of note. We got Jacksonville, San Fran, and Detroit, all buys this week. So those guys get a rest. All those interesting. I think Jax is trending up. I think San Francisco is trending down, and Detroit. We'll see what they do coming out of the bye. Power rankings, Jim Stansel power rankings going into week 9. Are you ready, folks? Get your pen, hit your wife, and write these down. As you know, as I announced last week, I'm going to do the top 8 because that's the top quarter of the league, and I'm a genius. Instead of doing top 5, which is meaningless, we do the top 8 here because that's the top 25% of the league. I'm still got the Eagles 1. I have the Eagles at number 1. Which could very well change this week as we see the result of the 2-3 teams, which is 2 the Dolphins, 3 the Chiefs playing Sunday morning, which I'll get to how much of an abomination that scheduling is in a second. I can give you a little teaser for next week. I can almost guarantee you the winner of the Dolphins-Chiefs game will be the number one power-ranked team going into next week. 4. Coming all the way from the back of the pack from the beginning of the year. We got the Ravens at 4. I got the Bengals. Yes, the Bengals at 5. As I told you last week, they're coming in. They're rounding into form, and they proved it again last week against, who was it? Was it Steelers last week? Who gives a fuck? Bengals at 5. I got the Jags on a bye week at 6. It's funny, 6, 7, 8, all bye. I got Jags at 6, 7 Lions, Niners at 8, all on bye. Niners last week, again, proving my point that they are a mid team, but they still have to be up there with their record, with McCaffrey, with Debo. I don't believe in Purdy at all, but with that defense. So for now, the 49ers are in the top 8 power ranking. But that could definitely change. Honorable mentions, which certainly could change as we've got Cowboys 9, Bills 10. James R., Super Chat, man of my word, $2. What happened to your Brian McCarthy interview show booking? Okay, a little change of speed from sports. Thank you, James R., Super Chat MLC. I left off with Adam to get in touch with me and haven't heard anything. I told him whatever Friday, as long as I know in advance, I can make it work. And haven't heard anything. So yeah, put the screws. I'll be happy to do it. Adam said Brian is down. Yeah, you got to talk to the most beautiful boy of all, Adam Hineker, about that. So you, James, and whoever else, get all up in Adam's sweet, tight ass about it. I'll be happy to do that. Thank you for the rambunctious super chat, sir. And again, if you're not super chatting, I'll get to whatever bullshit you're saying at some point. Actually, you know what? We're going to do the picks. Let me do, let's do a round of the poor chatters right now to clear it out. And then we'll do another round for the poors after the pick. So, let's see. Anything of note that you poor people said while I was reading rich people's chats? Acid Dust, this is the greatest show. Yeah, I know it is. Brennan's Beautiful Boys for Life. Thank you, Acid Dust. Jesse James, big piece, of course, and $100 lets you get a peek at the piece. Send that $100 over. We'll get you a picture of my cock. Why don't you dance for Civil War piazzas? You know, I'm not totally sure what you mean. I'm not sure what that means there, Tig Meister, but I do have my... I have my Union Jack right here. Shout out the North. Shout out the North Freedom Fighters. Just for that comment, I'll wear it the rest of the show. I'm a Yankee. I'm a damn Yankee. Sorry, South. You lost. Too bad. You've never seen a said a funny thing in your life. Wow. Anything about sports? ACDC, Stansel Stradamus, should I take Saints and the 1.5 favorites against my horrendous Bears? Absolutely, ACDC. Stay tuned. I'm going to get to that game in a minute. I love the Saints in that game, and I'll tell you why. Hey there, Stancil and Chris. Hello. Anything about anything else about sports? Happy birthday, gay bitches. Get it? Husey, you look lovely this evening, Stancil. Thank you, Husey. I don't know if Husey's heard. Ray DeVito sent some more disgusting messages to my manager, Kelly, this week. We'll cover him on SMC this weekend. Anything else of note? Jesse James, how about them Steelers? Yes. Talk about another ugly game last night. Technically it was a fun game, but boy, did that drag on. Pretty an ugly game, the Titans and Steelers last night. I will say, I think the Titans found their quarterback. I'd rather Levis. I don't even know how to say his name. I think it's Will Levis. They drafted him this year, but he looks like he's got a good arm. He already has more pocket presence than fucking Zach Wilson in his rookie year. Yeah. Anything else? Anything else of note? No, good. Let's get to the fucking picks. Oh, Jesse James, Big P's was in reference to the giant NBA player. Yeah, they're ghoulish. If you missed the top of the show, I talk about how ghoulish NBA players are. Russell Kirshner, thoughts on alleged Michigan cheating? I haven't followed that story. I'll try to follow it for next week. But if you watch the show, you know I could give two fucks about college football because all the games are blowouts besides two of them every week. Unlike the NFL, where kind of honestly anything could happen any week. College football, 75% of the games on the weekends you could pick by their ranking. It's pretty boring to me. I never really, unless you go to these schools, I don't understand watching it. Sorry. Anywho, let's pull up the picks. You know what time it is, folks, when you hear the music. You know goddamn well what fucking time it is. It's time for the picks. Stancil Stradamus picks the games. Week 9 of the NFL season, more than halfway through the fucking year. Here we fucking go. 9:30 a.m. Sunday. What an abomination. The NFL will do anything for a goddamn buck, including putting the two of the best teams in the league at 9:30 in the morning on a Sunday in Germany. How fucking much does Goodell want every fucking dollar they can get? Stop trying to spin it that it's about growing the game or whatever. Nobody in Germany plays football. If anybody thinks this is anything other than gaining an extra dollar because they get an international stadium, they're going to pack and have another game on at 9:30. So they basically have from 9:30 till 11 at night programming. That's all this is about. This Chiefs-Dolphins game, this should be a Monday night game or a Sunday night game. At the very least, the 4:25 national game. It is totally awful that this is the 9:30 game on a Sunday. And I believe these are still played only on ESPN Plus. Like, this isn't even a nationally televised game. Totally disgusting by the NFL. That said, we got the Dolphins and the Chiefs. The Dolphins are getting 2.5 points. They're playing in Frankfurt, Germany. As I said, the winner of this game, I'll give you a teaser, will be the number one team in the rankings next week and the favorite team to go to the Super Bowl in the AFC. Take out 9:30 a.m. Take out it's being done in Germany. This is your game of the week. Unfortunately, it's the first game in the morning. Luckily, we do have some other good games this week to get to. Tyreek Hill talking a lot of shit this week, even though he says it in the most mushmouth mongoloidal way you can. I mean, Tyreek Hill's IQ, this cup of coffee might have a higher IQ than Tyreek Hill, let's be honest. But what a freak athlete he is, but good Lord, he might be one of the dumbest people you'll ever hear talk. Tyreek Hill saying something like they're going to get what they get and get. Who, again, it was totally incoherent what he said, but in his mind, he was talking shit. The Chiefs coming off of a pathetic loss to the Broncos. Yeah, you can go either. I can go either way with this, which I know is great analysis. I'm going to go with the Dolphins here. Spread wise, I'm going Dolphins with 2.5 points. I think it's going to be a good game. I think the Chiefs defense is good. I think the Miami offense is better. More talent. I don't think it's crazy to say, as good as the Chiefs are, the Chiefs still don't have a number one wide receiver. Kelce is a tight end. I mean, obviously you could say he is their number one wide receiver, quote unquote. But they still haven't. Sky Moore can't hold on to a ball, continues to drop passes in all these games. And they got this other kid. I'm sorry, I'm blanking on the name. He's going to have to step up this week. The Chiefs have done all this without a number one wide receiver, which is wild. And I don't know if they figure it out this week. I like the Dolphins here. They're motivated. They want to be known as the team. Obviously, the Chiefs have been known as the team in the AFC for the last few years, as they should be. I think the Dolphins think, and frankly, I agree, if they win this game, they are now the team to beat in the AFC. I think the Dolphins have a little bit more motivation here. Obviously, I think the Chiefs' motivation, they're coming off a loss. Same reason I said the Dolphins' motivation is the Chiefs' motivation. I think the Chiefs can make a case for themselves. They want to motivate themselves that they're getting overlooked a bit. Everybody thinks Dolphins are the sexy team. Their coach is kooky and funny. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, so I'm going to go with the Dolphins here on the road. Well, they're both on the road in fucking Germany at 9:30 in the morning on Sunday. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Dolphins here, but I think we learn a lot here. I think we learn a lot in this game. I think either team, obviously no one will be surprised whatever team wins this game. It'll be interesting to see if Chiefs can figure out their passing game or at least take a step towards figuring out some sort of number one wide receiver. Because as of now, it's just Kelce and Pacheco. And all these other wide receivers can't hold on to a ball. So I'm taking the Dolphins plus the 2.5 points in Germany Sunday morning. Let's move on. Vikings at Falcons. The Vikings are holding on to hope without Kirk Cousins. Both of these teams are 4-4. So the winner of this game is going to believe they have a chance at the playoffs. Vikings are on the road. I believe the Falcons are starting a new quarterback this week. I could be wrong. Listen, this is a comedy sports podcast. I don't give a shit. I don't have to do my homework. I don't really give a fuck. I think the Vikings are in a state of free fall. I think they were before they lost Cousins. Now they are. I'm going to take the Falcons minus the points at home to go to 5-4. The Cardinals at the Browns. Browns minus 8.5. Regardless of that, I'm taking the Browns here. The Browns have a great defense and a decent enough offense that I think they're going to run all over the Cardinals. Cardinals at 1-7, looking to go 1-8. surprisingly, on here, they got 35% picking the Cardinals in the 8.5 points. I understand 8.5 is a lot of points, but not when you're the Cardinals going against a Browns defense who is good to very good. And the Cardinals are just lost this year. Not going to waste a lot of time here, especially we're already at an hour. Wow, what a show I'm doing. Wow, what a show. The best sports show on the internet. Unbelievable things. Yeah, give me the Browns. And the Browns have a little some weapons on offense. Be careful with the Browns. Browns at 4-3. I think they're going to go to 5-3 this week. Well, I know they're going to go to 5-3. Spread-wise, minus 8.5. I don't think they'll have trouble covering the spread either. Let's go Browns minus 8.5. Another disgusting game coming right up for you, folks. The Rams at the Packers. Packers laying 2.5 in Green Bay. You got to go with the Rams here. I keep getting fooled by the Packers that they're going to put it together one of these weeks. They continue not to. So I'm done picking them. The Rams are getting 2.5. So both these, the Rams are 3-5. The Packers are 2-5. This game sucks in the grand scheme of things. Means nothing. Sorry, Pauly C. Pauly C is a big Packers fan. I know he's watching. Aaron Jones having a totally lost year. I understand they're playing catch up in a lot of games, but he just doesn't seem like he's motivated at all to play. Give me the Rams plus the points in Green Bay. Moving on to another piece of shit. We got a few pieces of shit games before we get to some good ones. The Washington Redskins. Yeah, I said it. Sue me. Going to New England to play the Patriots. Patriots minus 3.5. It's hard to pick a winning team here. The Patriots at 2-6. The Commanders at 3-5. Jesus. I mean, I got to take the Commanders are getting 3.5 points. I hate to do it, but I got to take the Commanders. I've watched a decent amount of the Patriots this year. There is just nothing there to get excited about. Zero. I guess you can make the case Belichick can coach away to a win, but as I keep saying, I think the longer Belichick coaches without Brady, the more you're seeing, he is a mid, as the kids say, a mid coach without a Hall of Fame quarterback. And to those who disagree, I say, prove me wrong. Show me why he shouldn't be considered a mid-quarter coach. Look at the Browns under Belichick. Look at the Jets with Belichick. Look at the Patriots without Brady and Belichick. Yeah. So, until proven otherwise, I'm right, because I always am. Sans Nostradamus. Yeah, I'm taking the Commanders on the road. I don't give a fuck. Getting 3.5. I don't know who will win. I think it'll be close enough because they both stink. Even though I'm wearing my Union cap, I'm going to go with the Washington Commanders plus the 3.5 points. Hold on, we got a Super Chat. Super Chat's read immediately, unlike you poor people. James R. James R. must have gotten paid today. Jeez, it is Friday, I guess. James R. $2. I'm closing on pickleball. I'm closing on pickleball won't save you. I'm closing. Where's Stevie Lou when I need him? I'm closing on pickleball won't save you. I don't know what that means, James R. Feel free to super chat again and explain yourself. I don't know if you're just trying to get me riled up about pickleball. If you were, then you succeeded, because pickleball is a fake sport. It's one of these things that just grew momentum through people talking about it. Listen, if you're from Fairfield County, if you're from this area, I'm not affluent, but a lot of people in this area are. Here's what pickleball is, and I've said this before, I'll say it a fucking again. Fuck you, James R., for getting me riled up about pickleball yet again. Pickleball was made for the housewives to play the country clubs instead of tennis, because they're too lazy and fat for tennis. Pickleball was a sport made for housewives to play at the country club while their husband played 3 rounds of golf. That's, go look it up. That's a fact. Pickleball is not like a real sport people are supposed to be playing. Go play tennis. Either play ping pong or play tennis. Stop playing pickleball because you're a fucking sheep and you just see people doing it. Period. Stop. There's no but. There's no exception. Pickleball is as much of a sport as fucking darts or fucking pool. Okay? Again, pickleball is a housewife sport. It's because housewives were too lazy and not skilled enough to play on a tennis court. So if you're playing pickleball, if you're a man, you're a bitch. And if you're a woman, you're lazy. Rack me. Let's move on. Yes. Let's call. We got the Bears at the Saints. I got the Saints -7.5. Let's call our Bears correspondent, also known as my momager, my manager, the great Kelly P. is me. Let's try together on the horn. This is the fucking respect I get from this fucking bitch. My manager. My supposed momager. I need a new mommy. If anybody wants to be my mommy, please hit me up. Okay, well, fuck her then. We got the Bears at the Saints. Saints -7.5. Listen, I see a lot of people kind of automatically saying, oh, the Saints stink, the Saints is. I've been, if you watch the show, you know I've been a little higher on the Saints than most people. The Saints are 4-4. They can go to a winning record this week with a win over the easy Bears. Fields is out. The Bears are totally lost this year. I love the Saints -7.5 here. I don't love the Saints as a team, but I do think they're going to be a team that will make the playoffs. I think they can be a dangerous team. Listen, Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, you could finish a sentence there. Then you got Taysom Hill on their offense who does some different things. They're Swiss Army knife players, everybody calls them. I know the defense isn't great, but they got a good offense. I like the Saints more than most. I certainly like them at home against the Bears. Absolutely give me the Saints -7.5. Now, finally, an interesting game here. A good game here. 1 o'clock game. We got the Seahawks at Baltimore. Baltimore -5.5. The 5-2 Seahawks going against the 6-2 Ravens. The Ravens, as I said earlier, and I've said in weeks past, because I'm Stance of Stradamus, the Ravens are coming. I think if you follow it, even the pessimists would have to admit the Ravens are here. And I think this week they again cement themselves as an elite team up there with the Chiefs, Dolphins, Eagles, etc. I like the Ravens here, -5.5. You heard me talking to Gino on the phone earlier in the show. I know the Seahawks are going for it. They traded for Leonard Williams this week for their to shore up their defense. I know they have a good defense. I know they got DK Metcalf, Kenneth Walker, and so forth. But Geno Smith is a serviceable. I'll say this for Geno Smith. Geno Smith is an NFL quarterback. You hear me always say Zach Wilson is not an NFL quarterback. This is what I mean. Geno Smith is an NFL quarterback. He's serviceable. He can feel pressure in the pocket. However, when I watched Geno Smith for the Jets for all those years, never forget. And just like 9/11, you'll never forget. I'm not going to say he chokes, but he just gets flustered in big spots. And he hasn't had a real big spot yet. Big spots could come in this game this week. Not only that, the Ravens, if you follow them, wonderful coach in John Harbaugh, one of the great coaches, one of the underrated. He's going to be a Hall of Fame coach by the time he's done. Lamar Jackson, the running game coming in. They got a great defense in Baltimore. I love the Ravens here. -5.5, less than a touchdown. I like the Ravens. I think they'll win by a touchdown. I think the Ravens actually do as good as they've been. They still have a little chip on their shoulder as they haven't really been in the national story, like I said, as far as an elite team so far this year. I think after this game, all these talking head and moron networks will have no choice but to put them in that league, even though Stancil has been telling you they're in that league for a few weeks now. Yeah, give me the Ravens at home, -5.5 against the Seahawks. Fun game there if you get that in your area. This is one of these games I mentioned, not necessarily a good game, but an interesting game. Buccaneers at the Texans. Texans minus 2.5. They got C.J. Stroud there in Texas, the rookie quarterback. I think they may. I think he is going to be the future of that team, so that'll be interesting to watch. Baker Mayfield is a gamer. I hate him. I think he's Johnny Manziel 2.0, but he shows up to play. I think the Buccaneers believe in themselves. Believe it or not, we don't believe in them, but they can go to 4-4 with a win here, and then all of a sudden they can trick themselves. One more win, they're over 500 in the playoff hunt. I like the Houston at home here. I like Houston at home, their new quarterback. Even though they're 3-4, and I think the fans there know they're not going anywhere this year, I think they have some mojo because they have some hope for the future with the new quarterback. Yeah, give me the Texans minus 2.5. Not going to waste a lot of time there, just like I'm not going to waste a lot of time here with this fucking game. Colts at the Panthers. Colts 3-5 and going nowhere fast. The Panthers 1-5 and already not anywhere. Panthers got their first win last week. I picked it. I think they're going to get their second win this week. Minshew stinks. Minshew turns it over. But another guy Barstool loves just because he has a mustache. That just tells you how embarrassing Barstool sports coverage has become. Yeah, give me the Panthers at home plus 2.5. I don't have anything to back it up because who cares about this game? Speaking of who cares about this game, here it is, folks. This may be your toilet bowl. If you thought the Jets-Giants game was bad last week, close your eyes because we got the Jets going to Vegas against the Raiders. Raiders are totally lost. Talk about, again, a team in a state of free fall. Davante Adams crying, basically crying on the sideline last week. They didn't trade him. They're not happy with Jimmy G. Josh Jacobs has completely disappeared from the face of the earth. He's one of the great running backs in the league last year. No idea. Still haven't figured out what's going on there. And the Giants, apparently Daniel Jones is now back. After saying he wouldn't back to be till week 10, he's back. After using him to kick in the game last week, Graham Gano is done for the year. I mean, the Giants and a coach coming off of a Coach of the Year season last year, one Coach of the Year, now totally lost this year. Two lost teams. It's hard to even pick a winner here. You got to believe Vegas at home. They just so much more weapons than the Giants at this point, Vegas. But this is going to stink. Unfortunately, here in the tri-state, this is going to be broadcast as your 425 game on one of the channels. I believe that should be Channel 2 since it's the Raiders. So, yeah, good riddance to that game. I apologize to everyone watching that. We go from that to one of the great games of the week. And a few, the games the rest of the way, the 425, Sunday night, Monday night, all some fun games, thank God. The Cowboys at the Eagles, all you NFC freaks love this matchup. All the front-running Dallas fans and all the mouth-breathing Philly fans. By the way, how about that little Phillies girl who made the memes this week doing her little jerk-off thing. If anybody can get word to her, please just tell her I'd marry her without talking to her. That's my type of lady. She's like 4 feet tall and has an attitude. I would love to fight with her day in and day out. Eagles minus 3.5 at home. So listen, here we go. This isn't a must-win season-wise for the Cowboys because they would just be 5-3 with a loss here. Still can very well make the playoffs. But if the Cowboys want to remain in any kind of conversation as far as being a better team in the league, they have to win this game. We know the Cowboys are motivated to win this game. The games they have won have been against shit teams. The term, obviously, everyone uses, I'm not pretending to make this up for the Cowboys, a paper tiger is the best way I could describe the Cowboys. I've watched the Cowboys, I don't see it. I think the Eagles win easily here. I think they cover. It's only -3.5. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a close game. I would be a bit surprised if the Cowboys won this outright, I'll be honest. I wouldn't be totally shocked, but I would be a bit surprised just because I think the Eagles are a much better product. Something to watch here on the Eagles side. Jalen Hurts has not been great. They're 7-1. I understand they're the only 7-1 team in the league. But I've also watched a good amount of Jalen Hurts between them playing the Jets, the Giants, and the national televised game. Jalen Hurts has not looked great, and not injury-wise, just terrible decisions, almost lazy decisions he's making with the ball. So we'll see. I think the Eagles right the ship, though. I think, unfortunately for the viewers, I don't know. I have a feeling this game won't be particularly close, and unfortunately for me, Philly people are all trash, as proven time and time again. Although, as I ranted about last week, how much did we love to see the downfall of Philly, starting with the Jets beating the Eagles and finishing with Bryce Harper choking again in the big spot and being eliminated for the playoffs. Oh, yeah. Now I'm dancing on my own. Go fuck yourself. That song is gay. Robin is a lesbian, and you all made that your city song, so shame on you, Philly, for many reasons, but I do like them in this game. Sunday night, this actually, this is my, besides Chiefs-Dolphins, which I'm writing off because it's a 9:30 fucking game because the NFL stinks, so I'm making the Bills-Bengals my game of the week. If you've been watching the show this season, you know I'm big on the Bengals. You know I believe they are an elite team in the league. It was just a matter of time. Burrow coming into the season a little injured, but they have absolutely shown in my eyes that they have righted the ship. I think they are an elite team. I think they're going to prove it on the big stage Sunday night. I think Bills are very similar to the Cowboys, resting on the laurels of years past. I've watched a lot of the Bills this year as well. And I just don't see it. I keep saying it every week. I just don't see it from the Bills. They keep proving me right by barely squeaking out wins or not winning at all. They needed another wide receiver, I think. I think they should have gotten Devontae Adams. They didn't. So it's just Diggs and Allen, essentially. Yeah. So I love the Bengals here. The Bengals are only -2.5. Pound the Bengals here. Bengals at home, national stage. They've already, in my view, cemented themselves as one of the top teams in the league over the past few weeks. I think the mouth breathers nationwide haven't recognized that yet, so I think they have a chip on their shoulder for this Sunday night to show them. So thorough, Joe Burrow, Joe Cool, one of the sexiest, let's be honest, one of the sexiest boys in the NFL. Beautiful, beautiful boy. I know White Julio likes Justin Herbert as far as who's the most beautiful. I think Joe Burrow is the sexiest guy in the NFL, and I stand by that. Very, very beautiful. For a few bucks, I'd give him a smooch. No problem. Yeah, I love this game. I think it'll be a good game, but it's only Bengals -2.5. I thought it would be, I honestly thought it would be bigger, that spread. So this makes it easy for me. Bengals -2.5. Borderline my lock of the week, folks. I'm not going to guarantee it, but I love the Bengals in this game Sunday night. Hopefully for us it's a close game. I think it will be, but I'm still taking the Bengals -2.5. Again, another Super Chat. Super Chat's read immediately. James R. again. James R. got paid today, folks. $2. I'm in the corner. Why can't you see me? Whoa. Yeah, exactly. Robin and... There's a line in that song. Maybe somebody could super chat and explain to me. She says, but I'm not the... She says, I'm in the corner. Why can't you see me? Whoa, whoa. And then before after that, she says, but I'm not the guy you're taking home. Is that correct? Am I hearing... Have I always heard that line wrong? Or do I just not get it? It sounds like she says... Why can't... But I'm not the guy you're taking home? Is she a trans... Is she a he-she on top of it? And that's the... I just want to make it PC. I believe they call them he-she's now. Yeah, so another reason why Philly sucks, they chose a very gay song. I like how these teams try to pick these, like, gay songs to make them cool, so they seem cool by embracing, like, stupid old songs. How did that work out for you, Philly? Thank you, James R. Yeah, exactly. All right, folks. Monday night. Monday. Gino Bisconti's Los Angeles Superchargers versus your New York Football Jets live from one of the worst stadiums in the NFL, MetLife Stadium. The Jets should have built their own stadium in Queens. We all said it the whole time. Instead, they went back to sharing a fucking stadium. They should have built a stadium in Queens or Long Island. Instead, they went back to sharing a stadium with the lowly New York Giants. Chargers at the Jets. Jets are getting 3.5. I know I'm a Jets fan. You can call me a homer. I love the Jets in this game. I don't think the Chargers offense matches up well at all with our defense. Sauce Gardner will be back in full force. Our D-line, after totally annihilating, I don't know, what did they have, 7 sacks against the Giants last week? Our linebackers, Quinnen Williams and Mosey, absolute monsters. So just our defense versus the Chargers offense alone is enough. And then we go to the other side of the ball. Chargers defense, nothing much to write home about there. And we have, like I said at the top when I talked about the Jets last week, hopefully they have the brains to establish the run with Breece Hall. One of the best, keeps proving he's one of the best running backs in the league. The explosiveness and those young, beautiful legs he has. Give Breece Hall the damn ball. And when you don't give him the ball, give the ball to, again, another top five receiver in the league, Garrett Wilson. The only way the Jets can lose is if Zach Wilson beats us. Mark that down, write it down, put it in your notes. The only way the Jets are losing is if Zach Wilson beats us, because the Chargers offense isn't going to beat us. They'll make some plays. I'm not saying Chargers have some weapons as well. But Zach Wilson making mistakes, fumbling it. What I mean by make mistakes, not only shitty interceptions, those are the obvious ones, taking these blindside sacks, losing the football, throwing it away on big downs instead of giving receivers a chance. Simple shit, just terrible passes when guys are wide open, throwing it in front of them. Zach Wilson is going to win or lose this game for the Jets. Jets getting a field goal plus a hook. I love the Jets here getting the points. I would have taken the Jets -3.5. They're getting 3.5 at home. The loser, as I said to Gino, the winner of this game is feeling good about their playoff chances. The Jets can lose this game and still tell themselves they're in the hunt, and they would be. This would make the Jets would go down to 4-4 with the loss here. The Chargers would go down to 3-5. I know they're in a shitty division. Let me see that division again. Give me one sec. They're in the division with the Chiefs, unfortunately, so they're not winning the division. The rest of the division is the Raiders and the Broncos, so the Chargers have some games they're going to be able to win with the Chargers and Broncos on their schedule down the stretch here. But going 3-5 is never a good look halfway through the season. The Jets would go, like I said, to 4-4. By no means would that mean they're eliminated, but it's going to be tough with this quarterback we have. I'm not going to say it's a must-win, but winning this game would go a long way for the Jets to go to 5-3. Give them some breathing room to take a loss. Not that we want to, but 2 games above 500 would give us some room here to take a loss down the road. I love the Jets here. plus getting points at home with one of the best defenses in the league, some of the best weapons on the offense. If we just could find, if Wilson could for one night, every now and then he shows some glimpses that he's an NFL quarterback. Hopefully he can do that Monday night. I love the Jets here, plus the 3.5 at home Monday night to go to 5-3. Coming off of a bye, oh no, not coming off a bye, coming off a terrible win, but a win is a win against the Giants, where they obviously, they won the game, but they were trash for the way they looked, especially the offense this week. Again, so this is their chance to make a statement against a decent team in the Chargers. And those are your fucking picks. Jim Stansel Stradamus, those are your picks for week 9 of the NFL season, the year of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2023. The season already more than halfway done. Let's see if you poor pieces of shit put anything worth noting in the poor chat. Obviously, we read all the super chats. Let's see if anything of note since we last checked in. Thank you again to Dead Fool for, or kind of thank you for telling me fuck Jim Stansel. Sing the fucking song, Paul says. Don't mind me while I scroll through here. I don't know what that's in reference to. Balls deep. Smoke a bowl for balls deep. I got to work at the soccer ball comedy club later, or I would. But I will tonight. You have my word. I will over after work. I'll be smoking weed, and I'll give you a free plug, Gino. I'll be watching Gum Fridays, my Friday tradition. Watch when I get home from work. You're welcome. That's on the Gum Fridays Patreon. Oh, interesting, Dub. Dub says Frankfurt used to have a team for football called the Frankfurt Galaxy. There's a fun fact. You learn some things every week here. Is golf a sport? Little Lemmy, good question. Is golf a sport? I've covered this. Golf is a sport, but in my opinion, it's a sport like darts or pool is a sport. Dart, because golf is a mechanical sport. It's not an athletic sport, if that makes sense. You see what I'm saying? Darts, pool, it's all mechanics. It's the motion. It's not physical conditioning. It's not so much strength. I understand, blah, blah, blah. Don't get me started. I played golf for many years. I understand where strength and core strength comes into play, blah, blah, blah. I respect it. But more than anything, golf is a mechanical sport doing the same thing over and over. So it is technically a sport, but it's not an athletic sport. There's your answer. Rack me. The only sport that matters, Oregon Ducks plus 1,400 to win the chip. They are winning the chip. I'm glad you like college football. I find college football far and wide extremely boring. In my opinion, you always have a handful of NFL players on these D1 teams, and they just totally outplay all these other guys. They're going to have 9-to-5 jobs in a couple months, which is why usually the games are so lopsided and boring. Yep, college football is pretty boring to me. No parity, not like the NFL. Anybody can beat anybody any week in the NFL. That never, ever happens in college. Gino, I'll be watching the game at home. Sorry, Gene. You lost the pool. You didn't lose a pool. Fuck that pool. I'm not sitting in that shit stadium watching a shitty game between two shitty teams. Could use a few more adjectives there. Not totally wrong, but you agreed to it. All right, well, you didn't have to reap what you sowed, Gene. You said you would, and now you're not. Wow. Oh, Gino, maybe don't put that in the chat, but I love it. How are there only 15 people watching this show? I don't know. Well, most of our viewers watch after. It's the middle of the day on a Friday. Most of our viewers have real jobs, as do I. I just work at night. So much better on TV and easier to listen to. Well, thank you, Gene. As I said before, and I'll say it a goddamn again, Sports Mass Collective, this is our 58th episode, our third season. We've preceded a many, many sports comedy podcasts. I'm not going to name names. You freaks can do the math. We're still here. We're still banging. And as always, I'm always right. Follow me on Twitter or just watch this show. Listen to what I say week after week. I have the pulse on the wrist of all things sports, especially the NFL. And that's it. And boys are beautiful and girls are gay. And Hack Ride's show is fucking awful. I don't even know Hack Ride has a show. Yeah, couldn't be more awful than Borgo on MLC. Jesus Christ, that was awful. And that's not a knock on Borgo. He just doesn't belong anywhere in the MLC universe. But that's for another show. Borgo thinks, and similar people think, like Fraternity, just because they pay money, people are friends with them. You're just paying Kevin's bills. And I respect you for that. Just remember, that's why he talks about you. No problem with super chatting or chiming in about something here or there, but that's all. I've ranted on that enough on the shows the past couple of weeks. Anywho, this is the show you should give super chats. A guy who's about to be homeless and be living in his car, you should have given me money, but you can do that next week. Thank you, everybody who watched live. Go hit. Listen, as always, on Sunday, especially Sunday night, listen, I say it every week. Throw your child in a cage. Put them in a cage at the border. Commit your grandmother to the home. Do it. Put your mother-in-law in hospice on Saturday tomorrow. Okay? Tell your wife it's time. Make up a lie that she, like, put a fork in the microwave, or make up a lie that she did something. She has dementia. She's not going to be able to defend herself. And if your wife doesn't believe you, hit your wife. Strike her. Push her down the stairs when she's not looking. Then you could say it was the dog, and she'll be in. My point is, make sure your Sunday is wide open for football. We only have 9 more weeks of the regular season already, folks. Free up your schedule. Totally alienate your family if you have to watch these games. This is all we have, folks. Until next week, until week 10. I'm right about everything. I'll see you tomorrow or Sunday on Ski Mask Collective. Patreon.com, Ski Mask Media for all the Compound Stancil pre-games if you don't watch live. As I said at the top, scheduling this week besides SMD's weekend, Thursday I'll be in the city. Not Tuesday this week, programming note. Thursday, 12:45 Stancil pregame, 1:30 the dump, 2:15 in hot water. Between 2:15 and 7 o'clock, we'll be finding a new bar. And then 7 o'clock, we'll finish off the week with a football show with the Booth Boys and Gino. God bless you all. Count all the votes. Fuck the British. Come and take it and bring home the troops.